Recognize the Lord and all of his doing and all of his ways. So we're just grateful. Amen. Let's get into God's word. If you give me just a second, we'll pull up that and we will reflect on God's word today. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. We invite you this morning to Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3. As a matter of fact, we're going to begin a study of Psalm 119 and some exciting verses that will challenge us and help us in this way of grace. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thus ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. I want to share with you just a few thoughts from the subject, walking in the grace of God. Walking in the grace of God. I need to tell you a little bit about Psalm 119. It is the longest psalm in the Bible and what we would consider the longest chapter. If you were writing a chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. But aside from those technical things, many of the people in Israel wanted to remember what God said. And so what they would do is they would use an acrostic, using the alphabets, the Hebrew alphabet. You'll note in this psalm as we go through it that it has 22 different stanzas, if you were put it in a song. It has 22 of those, and it's all based on the Hebrew alphabet. And the first one is a term that we use in the, it is the first letter that represents A in the Hebrew alphabet. You find it in the word David, the A is that word that we have. And so with that, what I want to do is to walk through this psalm to help you understand how important it is for the grace of God to be at work in your life. A lot of times you think that we can make this journey and just tell us what to do and we'll do it. So it's not that easy. You need God's grace. You need his mercy to direct your footsteps, to order your steps in the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to fail and you will be destroyed. But when the grace of God is at work in your life and you're walking by the grace of God, and grace simply means goodness, love, mercy of God, all of that is encompassed in this word of what we call grace. Grace woke you up this morning. Grace started you on your way. Grace keeps you. And grace is the thing that will lead you to the destiny that God has planned for your life. By the way, that Hebrew alphabet is called Aleph. I kind of finally came to him. I'm getting a little old. It takes a little time for the brain to crank up. But it's called Aleph. And we'll give you a little bit of description on that at a later time. But now, I want you to think about something. What if? And in our what-if scenario, I want to break this down to traffic, okay? All of us, we get in traffic sometimes. We get on Ward's Road, and you know what's going to happen, especially when the students come back. It's this thing of traffic, right? And so I want you to imagine what if there were no traffic rules? None whatsoever. You know, you stop lights weren't there. Stop signs, yield signs. None of that was, there were no rules whatsoever. Just do whatever you want. Drive as fast as you want. Some of y'all are doing it anyway. Get up on people's bumper, doesn't matter. What if there were no rules? Can you imagine the amount of accidents? Can you imagine the amount of fatalities that would result from that? So all of us would probably agree, even though you may not keep them, you'd probably agree we need some rules, right? Okay, so we need some rules. The second thing I want you to think about, and third thing, is that what if there was no law enforcement? You know, I was on my way to church this morning, as usual, running late, and so the sign said, stop. Now, guess what I did? I did a New York stop. You just kind of roll through. You see if anything else coming, then you just zoom, zoom, zoom. Some of y'all do that anyway, right? You got this little gadget in your car that now tracks your driving, right? Okay. But what if there were no law enforcement? Now, I want to look at this from the spiritual standpoint. What if there was no law of God to direct you? People that have problems with God's law and God's commandment, and they say, oh, we shouldn't have to keep God's commandment. What if God had no commandments? What if you just killed and, you know, what if you just stole? And what if you coveted? What if you committed adultery? What if none of these things mattered at all? And what if God did not enforce his law? I want to go to now the end of the spectrum. I want to look at this. What if God had no mercy? What if God gave you no grace? Because regardless of how much you tried to keep God's perfect law, you couldn't do it. You would not be able to do it. Now, this does not change the fact that God has a perfect law. Yes. And God enforces that law. Yes. But God gives you grace. Otherwise, first time you run a stop sign, a spiritual stop sign, God said, don't do that, and you do it, what would happen? God would destroy you. But the fact that you are alive today speaks to the grace. I'm talking about all-sufficient grace. Grace that has mercy upon us, that does not destroy us, even when we break his law. But here's the point. You will not reach your destination unless you give heed to his word. Does that make sense? Now imagine yourself getting out on the road and you're going to Lynchburg, but there are no directions to Lynchburg. First time traveling to this area, doesn't tell you how many miles. As a matter of fact, there's a big question sign at each sign that says Lynchburg, just question sign, I don't know. But somebody knew how to get to Lynchburg. Somebody knew how to get to New York. Somebody knew how to get to Miami. Someone knew how to get to these points of destination because they wanted you to get there. Now here's the point of grace. This amazing God wants you to get to heaven. How awesome is that? And you can't get back and say, oh, I know which way to, I know how to get there. You idiot. You don't know. And you need to ask for directions. That's where God's word comes in. That's how he comes in and tells us, this is the way. He writes the commandment. This is the way you get there. But then, in God's law enforcement, God's not there. Yeah, he'll correct you. But God's not there to destroy you. Oh, you broke the law. Your God is not looking down upon you as some hawk in heaven waiting to pounce on you when you break the law. Your God says, I'm going to chastise you. I'm going to correct you. Then I'm going to get you back on your path. How good is that? How awesome is that? Who can you find like that? I wish every law enforcement officer was that kind and that gracious, but I don't know. And one guy told me, I knew him well, knew this guy, knew him. I knew him on a first name basis. You know what he told me? He said, I'm here to enforce the law, not to have mercy. I said, okay. So let's break this down. Some powerful truths in these first three verses. Some powerful truths that you need to pay attention to. The first thing it says, walking in the law of God. What do you think that means? Walking in the law of God. Now, based on the studies that I have, God wants us not to just sit down, get relaxed, and ride our way to heaven. No, God wants us to engage in the activity of going to heaven. Not only are you going to enjoy heaven, you're going to enjoy the trip. Because when you've got God with you, this almighty and almighty God, this amazing God we serve, he'll walk with you. He will be with you on your journey. Some of y'all have been walking with him a long time. And every time you stumbled, what happened? He picked you up. Every time you fell short, what happened? God came to your side. Why? Because his grace and his mercy was right there. So when you walk in the law of God, when you walk in God's law, this is not from a negative standpoint, thou shalt not, but this is from the positive standpoint, thou shalt. Now let's turn this thing around. One of the verses that we have, thou shalt not kill, right? So the opposite of that, help people to live. Or did I? It took me a while to figure that out, and I thought it was pretty amazing. God wants us to not only engage in life for ourselves, but he wants us to be life givers to other people. And as we go through life, if your God is gracious, you need to be gracious. You don't need to be waiting till the first time a person fails. You need to hold them up and help them. Amen? So when you're walking in this law of the Lord, you have God's law inside of you. You have God's word to keep you. And now you're walking in it, but you see someone on the wayside. You're going to help them to get on board. You're going to help them to understand that walking in the law of God leads you to your destiny. Second truth that we have, keeping his testimonies, keeping God's testimonies. I wrote something down with regards to keeping God's testimonies as I studied this. When you're keeping God's testimonies, and if you think about a testimony in the Hebrew, they were talking about these statements or these powerful words and these truths. What God did when he wrote the law, he etched it in stone. Because he didn't want it to be changed. Are y'all still here? Now, I want you to look at God's testimonies and why the psalmist wrote this. If he's now paying attention to God's law at work that's leading him, he says, I'm going to walk in the law of the Lord. Now, of course, I'm going to be able to say, I shouldn't do that. I should do this, right? So that's the law of God. But here's the second thing about it. God gives a testimony. You think about somebody standing up in a courtroom and they're giving testimony about someone else. A lot of you are believing what other people said about you. Or you got some negative message inside of your mind, recycling, repeating itself. You're not listening to God. You're listening to, well, I'm just a failure. Well, I messed up and I'm no good, or, you know, or some of y'all that's out there in the street, I'm just a player. Now, when are you going to listen to God's testimony about you? When you get saved, God says, you're my child. God says things about you that his love now abides in you. God says about you, his testimony, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. You don't go back to the old. Because you're new. When you think about God's testimonies and his statements about you, these are the truths that you live by. You would not be where you are in a positive sense if it weren't for the grace of God. You would not be where you are in your faith journey if you listen to the doubt that comes into your mind, to the fear that comes into your mind, to the anxiety that comes into your mind, to all of these things that would keep you from being a child of God. You know, it's like the testimony of Satan. What did Satan say to Eve? Oh, you're not going to die, baby. You ain't going to die. And what happened when she ate that food? Boom. Spiritually, she was dead. Spiritually, Adam was dead. When God speaks a word of testimony in your life, he whispers to you, this is the way. This is my plan for your life. I didn't bring you this far to just abandon you. I promised you that I would never leave you. Are y'all listening to me? I would never leave you nor forsake you. I'll walk with you. Going through a storm, what does Jesus do? He said, you have little faith. In other words, I want to give you big faith so you can trust me. So that's the second powerful truth. Keeping the testimonies of God. The psalmist said, I am going to keep his testimonies. In other words, I'm going to remember what God said about me. Some of y'all are good at remembering anyway. Yeah, I remember what you said. I remember what you did. Get that out of your mind. Do a mind dump, okay? Do a mind purge. Get that out of your mind. Fill your mind. Fill your mind. Everybody say, fill your mind. Fill your mind with the thoughts of God and with the word of God, and you'll be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How good is that? Fourth powerful truth. Seeking him. Seeking him with your whole heart. Now, I think I got some hunters in here. How many of y'all hunt, right? Come on, Red, raise your hand. All right, some of y'all love to hunt, right? Now, what if you just got out there? I'm just going to sit here and wait till, like my brother Leslie. I never knew anybody just kind of sit on a little pail and bucket and expect the game to just come to him. You got to seek it. You got to seek it. The psalmist said at one point, as the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul follows after or pants after thee. Jesus put it this way in the New Testament. He said, blessed are you that hunger. Now, y'all ever got hungry? I didn't say hungry. That's the polite, nice way of saying it. But you so hungry, you'll eat stale biscuits. I'm telling you. Now, what if you hungered? What if you converted that to the hunger that we have in the Spirit for the living God? What if you got hungry to the point and you thirsted after God so much that said, God, I can't live without you. As a matter of fact, you cannot live without God. You cannot survive without God. You need him in your life, and God is there for you. And so what the psalmist says in this Psalm 119, and under the olive, he says, I'm going to seek after God with my whole heart. Now, truth be known, and I'm almost finished with this, truth be known, we all struggle with that, right? When we're religious, we're very religious, right? Yeah, we can get in there, we can sing songs, long as we're singing, but as soon as the song is over, just like a lot of folks sit down, they sit down on God. Are y'all still here? So what you've got to do is to remember that even when there's no music playing, you're still seeking him. Even when there's no melody, as a matter of fact, even when tears are streaming down your face, you're still seeking him. Even when everything, your world turns upside down, you're still seeking him. Why? Because God is still God, and God is still there. He's the ever-present God, and you've got to seek him with your whole heart. Then the last thing I'm going to close with is walking in God's ways. God has certain ways of doing things, and so do you. God's way, your way. If you were to really evaluate the way that you pray mostly not God's way, but your way. You're Frank Sinatra, okay? I did it my way, and I want to have it my way. This ain't Burger King, and it's not your life, okay? So when you're walking in God's ways, you're learning, you're struggling. You stumble, but that's where grace comes in. You're finding it difficult at times, especially when you realize this very fact. Life down here on this planet is not fair. I don't know who told you that. People said, we're in a democracy. Life is fair. No, they didn't lie. They said pursuit of happiness. They didn't say you're going to catch up with it. You're going to pursue it. All right, you're going to run after it. You know, as soon as I get retired, everything going to be all right. So you get retired, and then you get tired of being retired because you realize that what you retired with is not enough to keep you in your retirement. Oh, but thank God for the goodness of the Lord. His mercy endures forever. You don't live by the government. You live by God. You live by his strength. His amazing grace is what's keeping you in this life. So a couple of quick points, and then we're going to close. Why do we need God's grace? We need God's grace so that we will not be defiled by this world. Spiritual contamination happens all the time. Hatred can take place in your heart right now. Animosity can take root in your spirit right now. And Lord knows when you have one problem, and then before you recover from that problem, another one finds its way in, then a third one, then a fourth one. And then you come up with these, I'm done. Wait a minute. Hold up. How did you get done? Did you get in the oven? How did you get done with life when God's not done with you? How do you not know that he's going to take that circumstance and work it out? Remember what he said, all things work together for good to them that love God. Look at somebody, tell them, keep walking. You got to keep walking. You got to walk through that. You need the grace of God. Why? Because circumstances will overwhelm you. Life will not be fair to you, but your God is always good to you. That's what I love about it. God is always good. The law of the Lord, the law of the Lord has come into our lives. The law of the Lord has redeemed us. Because if you look at the embodiment of the law, Jesus said, I fulfilled it all. Now all you got to do is follow me. You don't have to worry about the different commandments. Just keep one. Follow me. Just keep one. Just look. Let's look to him, looking unto him, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and now is set down on the right hand of the throne of God and inviting us, tell us, come on. Come on. When you get to running, you get, how many of y'all run and you get weary? I had somebody ran with me on this 4 miler, and he said, don't show me up, Rev. I said, I ain't trying to show you up. I'm just trying to finish. So I saw him on yesterday, and he outran me and then got to bragging about his time. That's fine. I said, I wasn't running to beat anybody. I was just running to complete the race. Because every time I get out there on those races, I understand you can't give up. You can't give in. You can't say, I've come far enough. Until you have reached your destination in Christ, until he's fully developed you, keep on running. Amen. Keep on moving for Jesus' sake. Amen? Amen? You'll have the grace of God that'll be with you. Then it talks about how we apply God's grace. Now, here's the important part. Look at the word keep. Now, I want you to think about the word lost. How many of y'all ever lost stuff? We lose things all the time. This is one of the things that you can't afford to lose. Yeah, I know you ain't feeling it sometime. A lot of time in this Christian life, you're not feeling it. Or as young people say, feeling it, I ain't feeling it. But this is something that is not based on your emotions. This is based on the truth of God. And the truth of God says, I know the plans I have for you. I know them. And I'm going to lead you to that place where I want you to be. You've got to keep his testimonies. You've got to keep it. And when you keep it, when you keep it with your whole heart and you seek God with your whole heart, he said, the whole kingdom is yours. Whole kingdom is yours. He said, if you seek after me, I will give you my kingdom. Now, what does that mean? You get all the gold in heaven? No. But you do get the wisdom of God. You do get the love of Christ. You get the direction of his Holy Spirit and the power of his might so that when you're facing now an obstacle, you got the whole kingdom of God backing you up, keeping you from discouragement, guiding you by his grace. As a matter of fact, he goes before you pushing all the stuff out of the way, but leaving enough just so that you can know how it is to walk with God and need him. Otherwise, you'd be strutting yourself around. Man, this is all right here. Yeah, Jack, I'm moving on. No. If it weren't for God moving in your life, you would be stuck in those past situations of your life. Today's a new day, and we walk by grace and not by sight. A couple more things. Grace points the way for us. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. I want to just refer you to something. When it talks about God's statutes and his laws, as we've referred earlier, God wrote his law so that it would not be changed. Now, I want you to think, go back to that traffic scenario I gave you. What if some idiot, and people do that, they deface signs, right? What if they defaced all the signs that says Lynchburg, and you got a person trying to get to Lynchburg, and now the sign says instead of 10 miles, it says 100 miles. Or if it says you passed it. God's law cannot be defaced. His word is ever settled in heaven. And if you keep his statutes, they're not going to change on you. They cannot be manipulated. They're always the truth. And the truth always sets you free. But now the question is, do I value what God is telling me? So he says in this psalm in verse number 5 and 6, he says, then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect. Now, I didn't say I'm never going to fail, but when I have respect, when I honor, when I hold as the highest goal in life, God's commandment, I'm going to be kept. Does that sound good? Last point, the only thing that you can do is just praise him. You did not make up the word. You did not plan your destiny, but you're going to get there. So we praise him. He said, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned your righteous judgments. That's what we do by grace. That's what we do by grace. There's a lot of traffic, a lot of people spiritually trying to get to heaven. And they're saying, I'm going to get there by this, and I'm going to get there by this. But then there are a few that's on this narrow way, this path that the world does not choose and does not want. But the believers say, I'm going to enter that path. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to know that he's a way maker. I'm going to know. As a matter of fact, I'm not just going to know about him. I'm going to know him. I'm going to call him things like, you're my shepherd. I'm going to say of God, you're the light of my life. I'm going to say of God, you're my refuge. You're my salvation. You're my redeemer. When you get to really walking in this thing, you know what God can do. You know how he can deliver you and how he can lead you forward. So I invite you, as I invite myself, let's take this journey. Let's take this journey of faith. Let's walk by it. Let's live by it. And let's praise God as we're on our way, because that's what he called us to. To honor his name each and every day. Can I get an amen? Amen? Father, we thank you again for your love and your grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you're doing in our lives. And Lord, amid all the spiritual traffic that we're running into, all of the things in life that seem to be chaos, we know that you're still God. Continue to lead us and direct us and help us, Lord, to walk in this grace of God and to know that we'll reach our heavenly home one of these days. And until then, we got heaven in our heart. We've got the joy of the Lord in our lives. And that will keep us. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. So repeat after me again the word Aleph. That's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph. And as you go back and you read that first stanza in Psalm 119, let it speak to you. Let it give you the revelation of God's truth. May we all stand. As always, we invite people to come to Christ, to know him, to love him, and to serve him. So if there's one today, perhaps you're not in Christ and you want to be born again, today's a good day. Now's a good time for you to give your life to the Lord. Is there one? We're going to get ready for our offering. As the officers prepare themselves, we ask that you remain standing.
Heavenly Father, we